Thank you for coming. I've asked you all to gather here today as a group. And by the way, the least you can do is bring some food. When anybody does a gathering, someone's supposed to bring the food. Do you ever read in the paper that the church down the street is holding a bean supper on Saturday night? Who wants to go to that voluntarily? You go to a bean supper at a church because you feel guilty if you don't. If there's one thing I wouldn't want to do when I'm eating beans, is being amongst other people. That's disgusting. When I purposely go out and eat beans, it's by myself, just in case, if you know what I mean. Who gets excited about something like that? Hey, the church is having a bean supper. Wow, what time? I'm there. I want to arrive early before they run out of beans. A bean supper? What the hell is a bean supper? It's like a farting contest in a church. What is that about? Do you ever go to a restaurant and the server comes over and says, we do have a special tonight. Special tonight is the bean supper. Oh, can I have that? Oh my God, bean supper. I'll have it. Who wants that? Who would want to eat beans on purpose? And how can that be the headline food? Hot dogs and beans, Franks and beans. It's not beans and Franks. Actually, it can be, though, can't it? I never want beans to take top billing. They don't deserve top billing. They're tiny little things, and they cause a lot of gas and a lot of problems. As green beans, they're on the side. Nobody just says, I'm going to go out for some green beans. Hey, Joe, I'm a little hungry. I'm a little peckish. You want to run down the street and pick up some green beans? No one does that. Unless you're a vegetarian, you've run out of ideas. No one does that. Why does somebody go to a church and eat beans? The other big meal at a church, which they advertise, is the spaghetti dinner, the spaghetti supper. Yeah. I want to sit in a church hall and watch people try to slurp noodles into their face with spaghetti sauce all over their cheeks and their nose. Yeah, that's a nice social dish. Nobody eats spaghetti in a clean manner. It's all over the place. There's little spurts of spaghetti sauce and looks like you're eating like white worms. It's just a disgusting thing to eat with other people. But yet, for some reason, churches find that to be something that is appetizing to have in public. It's not. You don't take a date out and say, let's go find the sloppiest food we can possibly eat. I remember when I was dating way back, I used to love lobster, and lobster was inexpensive when I was dating back in 1910. I joke, I'm not that old. I used to take these girls out for to a seafood restaurant. We would have lobster. And lobster is a very, you know, it's impressive. You know, the girl goes, oh, he's got money. We're having lobster. Not that bean stuff. And then we'd sit there and we'd eat the lobster. And man, there's nothing messier in the world. There's lobster all over your hands and butter sauce all over the place. My goodness, they know that eating lobster is sloppy. It's the only food where they, on purpose, give you a bib. A grown man, me, wearing a bib? That's not right. It's just not right. And of course, the picture on the bib, it's a picture of the food that you're dismantling. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. I wonder if Jeffrey Dahmer had pictures of people on his bib. I wouldn't be surprised. So, who brought the beans?
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Thank you. Please hold your applause to the end of the program.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the program that you clicked on. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Serious, I'm not kidding you. Thank you very much. Thank you so much. You're wonderful. You really are. It's not that you're wonderful, really, because I guess you're really not in the scheme of things. It's just that you smell so good, man. What are you wearing today? What, did you shower? Did you wash your hair? I use coconut oil. It's cool. It smells like coconuts, and people love, well, duh. Did you know the coconut oil smells like coconuts? Really, Ron? Did you go to school for a long time to figure that out? Yeah, I did, actually, I did. That's all I came out knowing, too. I can't add, but I know the coconut oil smells like coconuts, or the insides of it, at least. I use coconut oil on my hair, and everybody, including my male friends, they start touching me. It's, I don't know, it's an aphrodisiac or something? Spell that one. Spelling bee girl. I'm always dumbed down by Spelling Bee Girls and Jeopardy. Here's what they have in common. I'm sorry. I'm laughing at myself and I haven't said anything. I'll watch Jeopardy sometimes because it's so respectful and so human. Nobody gets angry on Jeopardy. Nobody says any dirty words or even does any sexual innuendos of any sort. And if there are, they titter and flitter and their faces turn red. It's just such a proper show. It's like Leave It to Beaver of quiz shows. It's just proper. So I watch Jeopardy sometimes. It's been on forever. Never goes off the air. But if you ever want to feel like stupid, play Jeopardy. Now, some people actually sit there with the television and they know like most of the answers. And that, I guess, makes you feel good. But for most of us, we have no freaking idea what they're talking about. We don't even understand what the categories mean. We have no concept. We're just looking at a lot of smart people who obviously know a lot more than we do. It's like watching Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. Remember that show where they would give you tours of celebrity mansions and these gigantic homes that you'll never be able to afford. You'll never walk into any of these places ever because you can never make that kind of money. You are a loser. These people are winners. They have money. They have estates. They have mansions. You shall never be a part of their lives in any way, shape, or form. You will never enter into any of these rooms that you're looking at on television. You low-life scum. It's the same with Jeopardy. These are very smart people. You will never be as smart as them. You will never even come close. You don't even know what to call them. You don't even know anything. But you're fascinated by people that seem to know things, and you didn't even understand what the questions were. And then they turn Jeopardy around where they give you an answer, and the answer is in the form of a question. All right, now you screwed me up totally. Not only do I not know the answers, I don't even know how to form them anymore. How can I form a question of something I don't understand what the question or the answer was to begin with? But we watch it. And Alex Trebek stands there like he's the smartest man in the world. He's got all the answers in front of him. Give me a break. I could look smart too. Give me some gray hair and a suit and the answers to every question that I'm asking, and I'm going to appear to be a genius. But I'm not. So what's that all about? Anyway. And the spelling bee people annoy me too. They're very rarely Americans. They're usually from India or from Japan or China or something. And they're incredibly, incredibly intelligent. And you never see any Caucasian kids really up there, really. It's always the... It's these, you know, people from other countries where their parents are just very, very organized. You know, these kids are not on their cell phones all day. No, they're under the gun there. They're big stuff. They're spelling words, man, that I, these are, These are 10, 11, maybe 13-year-old children that know more than I do at my age, like triple, quadruple that age. And I have no idea what they're, I never did know. It's not like I forgot how to spell. I can spell, but not those words. I never heard of those words before. They've got more than three letters in them. I mean, gosh, what do these kids do all day? I mean, do they sit down in a, you know, in a corner and start reading a dictionary? I mean, I don't understand how they know this stuff. Anti-blumatophilus. And is that from the Greek, meaning shoestring? Yes, it is. How did you know that, kid? Do you have a social life, kid? Do you go out and play with your friends? I mean, how do you know this stuff? How do you retain this information? And then they have shots of the parents in the audience at these spelling bees, these national spelling bees that are televised. And you look at the parent, you go, yeah, I understand why the kid is smart. Look at their parents. They look like rocket scientists. They look like they invented like most of everything, including gravity. Look at these people. Look at the parents. God. They're not dressed in shorts with a ripped t-shirt. No, they're not dressed like that. These are white-collar dudes that have pretty much figured out the meaning of life or something like that. They've cured cancer a number of times. They're just waiting for the patent to clear. I mean, These are people, man. These are people who make us look like little slugs and worms. I respect all that. I really do. I don't want to be them, but I respect that. Good for you. Good for you. You're going to be big someday. I'm not. You're going to have that mansion. I'm never going to be able to walk inside a room like that with the, I mean, it's like Trump. I'm never going to have a Trump kind of play. I'm not going to have that kind of money. I'm not going to have a gold leaf throne or a bed with imported from the depths of Italy, from a tomb with Caesar's. I don't have that kind of prominence, need, or want to even walk into a room like that, much less be one. You haven't elected a president. You've elected a king is what you've done. It's what you've done. So I run into people all the time. They say, Ron, you still on the radio? And it's like, well, apparently my marketing scheme isn't working because I've been doing this podcast thing now for over 3 years. I left broadcast radio 3 years ago after a 25-year broadcast radio stint. Which was fun and enjoyable, and I kind of do miss it. But I went into podcasting, and these people, what time are you on? No, you don't understand what podcasting is. This is the beauty of the thing. It's what's happening, man. It's what's happening, man. Nobody watches television anymore. They record their shows, and then they watch them later at their convenience. Well, that's what this is. And obviously, if you're here listening to this, you already know that. But most people don't get the concept of this stuff where you go on the internet pathways, the cloud, the worldwide webber, and you can just pull up stuff all the time. So I do this show every single weekday. There's a new show. And it's not like you have to be there when I'm doing it. You can listen any time of day. And if you missed a show on Monday, you can tune in the next Thursday and hear the one from Monday. You can hear a show from 3 years ago on this site. So that's the beauty of it. So sit back and prepare yourself a nice bean dinner. But there are certain rules involved here. This is not a free ride in any sense of the word.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home. Some listeners may experience nausea or vomiting while listening to this show. Please consult with your doctor or psychologist before listening to this program. The Ron Van Dam Show is not intended for listeners who have had a history of high blood pressure or acid reflux. Women who are pregnant should stay at least 20 feet away from the radio speaker and should avoid listening to the show for more than 2 hours at any one time. The Ron Van Dam t-shirts should never be worn in conjunction with the Ron Van Dam pants, unless it is after Memorial Day or before Labor Day. But even then, please refrain from loud conversation as this may be disruptive to others nearby who are trying to listen to this program. Your enjoyment of the program may vary. It may vary greatly. Please enjoy the show.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show, the podcast world's version of painful itching and swelling. You know they sell a cream for that, right? It's over the counter. Works really well. I've had to use it a lot.
Adam West apparently passed away a few days ago. He was 88 years old. What a loved character he was. He, of course, was the original Batman, a TV series back in the 60s. An icon. One of those, he was a very famous actor even previous to that. Hired for that role and stuck with it. And I don't know if he tried to be a serious actor again. A lot of them try to do that. They get stuck in a role. They get very upset about it. But Adam West seemed to embrace it. And he spent his life embracing this character, which made him a household word, like soap. You know, 88's a good run, man. Now, there's a friend of mine on Facebook, and I recently was told by my friend Tori here how to unfollow somebody, and I didn't know what that meant. But I learned how to do it. So I've kind of gone on an unfollow frenzy. It's given me power. I hate the freaking Facebook. I hate it. It's a drug. It should be called oxycodone Facebook is what it should be called. Because it's you can't get off of it. You have to check it all the time. And it's your connection to people, you see. There's no other connection to people. No, you can't. You don't talk to people anymore. You don't reason with them. They're all too messed up. We all know that. See, here's the difference. For my generation, we didn't have these communities. We didn't have the Twitter or the twat. We didn't have the Facebook. So we actually had to either call each other on the phone, connected to the wall, or we actually had to talk to people. I didn't enjoy either of those things, to be honest with you. The less I'm connected, the better in every phase. But that was the only means of communication. Life was so simple and so wonderful. Now we have to connect. We feel a drug to have to tell everybody how we feel all the time, what we're doing all the time, what the reaction is to everything that we're doing all the time, with the supposition that because you're my Facebook friend, you're going to care intrinsically. Your supposition is stupid. Even those that love the Facebook, for the most part, don't care about what you're feeling or what you're saying or what you're even doing there. So don't feel that they do, because they don't. Even when they say they do, they're kind of just not really meaning it. And clicking like on something is as passive as breathing. It costs you nothing. It takes a second. You don't have to say anything. What's the point? Oh, look, 100 people liked what I said on Facebook. You know what? No, they didn't. They just sloughed you off to move on. Oh, man. You got 100 liars is what you got. People don't not like things. That's nasty. See, here's the deal, and I don't want to get too deep into this, because I'm writing a book about this, actually. That's a lie. I'm not doing it. I don't want to get into it. I'm just, so here's what I did. There's this guy who loved Batman, loved Adam West, loved him. Adam West passes away, and this is what he puts on his Facebook page. F you to all the people that didn't think Batman was a wonderful human being and a wonderful person. I'm going to miss him, and F you if you didn't find him to be an amazing thing. Well, no one challenged you, kid. No one said that he... Why are you challenging people who didn't say anything? That's anger? So someone that you love and admired passes away, and your response is cursing at people that potentially may not have liked him as much as you did? Unfollow, bye, have a nice one. You see, here's the deal, my friends. Here's the deal. We all have this thing that we go through called life. We try to make it as pleasant as possible. For most people, unless you're incredibly religious, this is a one-trip thing. And you want to be happy. I do this little show so we can smile together. Oh, Ron, you're so loving. If you're going to have to deal with somebody's anger or your own anger for all of your life, then you must understand that that can be a private thing that you must go through and must endure with the support of your friends. To publicly do it on Facebook, I get it. But to be mad because Adam West died instead of grieving, you're mad? Look, I'm just saying. We're supposed to all be getting along. We're supposed to be all in this big boat. All right, fine. Let's move on. Let's get it on. Get it on, please. Let's just move on. All right, we got a guest today. This is kind of interesting, man. This is interesting. It's about water. I've been doing a lot of interviews about water. And as a result, I'm peeing all night. Isn't that odd? Isn't that odd? You find that odd? All I have to do is talk about water and I start... Yeah, I know. Anyway, yes, this gentleman, we're going to talk about water that you use, that you drink. This is municipal waters and things, and watering your lawn and stuff. I mean, I think we have to start conserving stuff. I think water is going to be a commodity like oil someday. I really do. And as the summer months are upon us, you got to start thinking about conserving water because it gets hot and it gets dry and we get droughts and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, let's talk about water. Robert Montenegro joins us now. He's Executive Vice President, Water Utility Municipal at Grundfos, which is a mechanical engineer. He is a mechanical engineer, and he's got 30 years' experience. So going to impart some of that experience upon us. We're talking about water, and we're talking about water systems in America. And, of course, in the news over the prior year or so has been a failure of a water system, which opened our eyes to the possibilities of this happening across the country. Does it happen every once in a while?
It does happen every once in a while. And one of the key points is whether or not people realize this happens. We have other challenges that come up to us as well, such as the drought that's been happening out west and in the southwest over the last couple of years. We've gotten a little bit of rain there recently, which has helped to temper that situation. But the fact is that there are water challenges that face Americans every day.
How much do Americans actually use water in comparison to other countries, perhaps? Or what is our consumption like here?
Oh, fantastic question. So the average American uses 2,000 gallons of water a day.
Wow.
The total amount produced in the U.S. is 355 billion gallons every day.
Wow.
Now, only 10% of that is used for personal consumption, drinking water, making coffee, bathing, these sorts of things. And the other 90% is indirect use. So the water needed to grow crops and to produce cattle and to make a cup of coffee in the morning, and the entire process to make that coffee. Okay. So it's a staggering number that is used by Americans every day.
Are the water systems set up in our country to be run by municipalities, states, federal? Where is the responsibility lie for supplying good clean water to us?
In general, the answer is the local or other municipalities. Mm-hmm. The fact is that water systems and wastewater systems are operated both by municipalities themselves as well as private operators that are challenged to deliver the water and to collect wastewater from consumers.
Okay. Are there parts of the world where water is considered gold?
Well, I would say that water in the U.S. is gold. The fact is that we have a fixed resource of water, and conservation of that water and proper usage of that water is recognized not only by those of us in the industry, but also by organizations such as the United Nations. United Nations ranks water usage, water conservation among the largest challenges for the globe today and moving forward.
Okay. Robert, let me ask you a question which is in the back of everybody's mind, but it hasn't really surfaced, but hopefully it never will, and that's the actual security of our water system. It seems so easy for an evildoer to totally ruin an entire reservoir, etc. Are these concerns that are real?
They are real, and many municipalities, particularly after 9/11, put in some security to help to protect the water sources. There are many more guarded entrances and exits from water facilities and so on. Particularly in light of the challenges of the recent weeks with terror concerns, there are challenges that we're going to have to deal with. To date, there haven't been any real threats or real occurrences with water systems, but certainly people can target water systems if they so chose.
Okay. As this might be an environmental problem, perhaps, it's also a financial problem because of, you know, the situation in the news with the water system, where most municipalities, every once in a while, their pipes get archaic, they start breaking down, it starts poisoning the water system, lead, et cetera, gets into the system. But yet the monies to keep up with this are probably prohibitive for most municipalities.
Again, a fantastic question. So there are a number of different surveys that are out there that pinpoint the funding challenges that municipalities have today. The American Society of Civil Engineers estimates that there's a $270 billion funding gap over the next 20 years.
Yeah.
The American Water Works Association estimates a $1 trillion investment needed in water systems over the next 30 years.
Wow.
So there are huge funding challenges that municipalities have to help to address the water system, the water infrastructure.
Yeah.
Additionally, there are as many as 700 water main breaks per day across the U.S.
Wow.
So there are immense challenges to help us to modernize and maintain the water and wastewater systems in the U.S.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons that we're kicking off this campaign to help raise public awareness to the needs of these municipalities to help to provide these vital services to Americans.
Yeah, tell me about the campaign. What is it called?
The campaign is called Who Runs the Water?
Uh-huh.
And it is a program that has helped to, that is designed to raise public awareness to the issues that are facing our water, wastewater providers across the U.S.
Wow.
We've got a nice interactive website that illustrates some of the challenges that these water utilities face.
Yep.
We've got videos. We've got water footprint calculators. We've got an interactive water delivery cycle infographic. And we've got some information about our local water delivery plants and water prices.
Yeah.
There's also a site that's specifically designed for the water utilities themselves that allow them to create some public awareness campaigns to educate their local consumers about the services that they provide, the specific services that plant or those plants provide to their consumers.
Yeah, it's interesting because you're right. We don't think about it. We take it for granted. We turn on the tap. The water comes out. Who gives another thought to it? But it is it's the lifeblood for our system for so many reasons. I guess eventually water and sewer taxes will be going up in order to pay for all these improvements. Maybe that'll help curb some people to conserve their water usage accordingly.
That's one of the goals of this program. Mm-hmm. The fact is, 70% of water utilities surveyed have said that they don't generate enough revenues to cover their own costs, let alone plan for the future for their infrastructure needs. Right. So, for sure, a combination of conservation as well as funding resources from federal, state, or local government has to be a major play in this conservation effort.
Very good. Where do we go for more information?
We have a great website set up. That website is called www.whorunsthewater.com.
Robert Montenegro, thank you so much for your information today. It's been fascinating. Thanks again.
Thank you, Ron.
Take care.
All right. Bye. Robert Montenegro.
I can't without knowing what's going to happen. You know what's why?
Greetings, fellow planet travelers. Kip Starchild here with your monthly New England Broadcasting Horoscopescape. Let's see what the stars have planned for you. Aquarius, your life lately is the result of a lot of really questionable choices. I don't see that changing anytime soon, but I do see a lot of Mexican prison food. Pisces, watch out for your evil twin. Not the one you already killed, the one you weren't aware of. Aries, in your endless search for meaning, remember to check between the couch cushions. Taurus, you've got a career change coming. You probably weren't thinking about it and didn't know about it, but your bosses and coworkers certainly have. Remember, friolators get really hot. Gemini, bad sushi means a good lawsuit. Mazel tov! Cancer, chances are pretty good that you are going to get hit by a bus or a derailed train. Leo, don't stand too close to Cancer. Libra, romance is in the air for you. So is a raging STD, thanks to Miss or Mr. Right. Or both. Virgo, start saving now for your dream vacation. Looks like the money will go to bailing out your quote-unquote Uncle Freddy again, but it's best to plan ahead. Sagittarius, exposure to a leaky microwave at a chemical plant will give you superpowers. Or some kind of really bad tumor, not exactly sure which one right now. Sorry. Capricorn, you are about to make two new best friends, tequila and despair. So stock up on limes and Kleenex. That's your New England Broadcasting Horoscopescape. I'm Kip Starchild. Until next time, peace.
I had a friend once, not Facebook, a real one, who couldn't live without looking at the horoscope every morning. I called it the horror scope. Couldn't start the day without looking at that thing. And constantly would say to me, isn't that me? Isn't that me? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing how they know me? That fits so much. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Isn't it amazing? You see how that works? Oh my goodness. They know me so well. That's me. That's me. That's me. That's me. And then the person would say to me, Ron, read yours. Read your horoscope. And I would always go, no, I don't want to know. I don't want to know. You see, that could psychologically influence me. But I never believed in it. I think it's silly. How can you chart somebody's actions because of your birthday? And not just my birthday. It's like for a whole month. Everybody born within a month range of me
We're all going to have the exact same problems. We're all going to do the exact same thing. We're all going to have the exact same. We're all going to have the same problems today. All we're going to face this. All of us. Everybody born within this month. It's just absurd. You've got to realize how. But that's me. Oh my goodness, they're talking about me. That's me. I am sensitive. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. They got you pegged. Oh, that's me. Oh, I am gullible. See, my sign says that I'm very gullible. Really? No kidding. You're gullible? I would have never guessed that that was you. You're gullible? Yes, that's what my sign says. Oh, I see. I can't imagine that you're gullible. Well, this show's over for today, but I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Will you join me then? No admission charge. You just walk right in. You walk past everybody else. A special line for you. I wish you peace. I do.